To the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I got nothing to say to you.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? You're salty today, and I don't know why. Why are you so salty?
So here's what happened.
Yeah, let's do it.
I watched this movie a week ago because I forgot
air
we
the
were
grievances.
Taking, in the real world, we took a week off. Nobody noticed because we've recorded ahead.
Right.
But I watched this a week early, and now I couldn't bring myself to sit through it again.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to pull from memory. I'm going to have to rely on you.
That's fine. But before we get into what we watched this week, we got to plug some music. And this month, we've got the hip-hop female duo, Flying a Boss. They're from Los Angeles. And they're doing big things on the TikTok. They're doing huge things on the TikTok. They're like overnight blow up sensation. But we are proud to feature their track Trash Boy here on the podcast. Be sure to hit the show notes where you can follow the links to their social media accounts. Make sure to give them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. And make sure you're telling them, hey, the Movie Draft House sent me. Maybe you want to plug some of their content too. We appreciate them. They're doing big things. Thanks, Flyin' a Boss. What do you think of that Trash Boy song, by the way?
I was wondering which of the two of us they're talking about. Probably
it's for
you.
Sure, it's for sure me.
Okay. We're on the same page then.
I'm not a trash boy, but you're much less of a trash boy.
That's true. I'm clean. Got a haircut.
I mean, you're clean shaven. Look at you. You're up here on YouTube. People don't recognize you now.
I know. I've got a haircut. I've shaved.
Got a haircut.
I'm down to just the goatee to hide the double chin.
I mean.
And now I'm ready to talk about a movie. Because, bitch, right. This month we're watching movies starring an actor playing multiple roles. And this week we watched Legend from 2015. It's rated R. Runs for 2 hours and 12 minutes, and it stars Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy as Reggie and what's the other one's name?
Reggie and
Raj, Derek.
Derek, yes, him. He is Reggie Cray. No, damn it, I didn't want to do that. Anyway, click
Ronald.
His name.
Okay, just... Ronnie and Reginald. They are the Cray brothers. They run a mob group in the UK.
They are the mob group. They don't run a mob group. They're the mob.
Kingpins.
I mean, they do run it, but yeah.
Of a mob family among other mob families. I mean, there's another rival mob family in the area that they end up taking over partway through the movie. Anyway, this movie, again, the titular, well, not titular, but Tom Hardy is playing twin brothers, one of which is Reginald, who's the smart, handsome, clean-cut, level-headed, relatively, at least at the beginning of the film, guy who is running this organization. And his brother, who is Ron, is in the mental institution. And they're able to get him out because, you know, basically they threaten violence. And that seems to be the biggest mistake you can make. And it is the catalyst for all that happens for the film. This is based on a true story as well.
Yeah, so you had never seen this?
No. I'd seen the trailers. I remember when the trailers came out, I was like, that looks like something I would watch.
I've never seen it.
You hadn't even seen the trailers?
No, I knew of the movie, but I'd never watched the trailer.
Well, I saw that the reviews were coming in, and it wasn't particularly well liked.
It's got a good Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, an average, above average Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, the Metacritic's 55, but and I think that's about right. Like, it's just kind of the mob movies that I've seen, it's just kind of meh.
Right. You want to know what I hated about this movie? And let me just get this right.
Okay, because it's probably the same thing I hated. Because there's one moment in the film, not just one moment, but there's a... Go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder.
I had to turn on the fucking subtitles, man.
Mm.
Because everyone totally...
Tom Hardy's accent is so thick in this movie. I had to do the same thing. I had to turn on subtitles.
It is in everybody's accent for the most part, and we're talking about a British accent here, so we're not talking about
British accents though.
It is thick. You have to be looking at the screen to really tell what they're saying. So when I turned on the subtitles, I was like, damn, I really don't want to read this movie because it is in English.
And sometimes I have to do it because it's on my TV and the sound's not quite as good. But most of the time when I'm watching movies, I've got earphones in and I can usually hear perfectly. Even with that, I needed subtitles for a lot of what Tom Hardy says. And there's a lot of important dialogue that goes by and I don't know what they're saying.
Right. And it is a movie. It's a mob movie. And most, I guess most mob movies are very dialogue heavy.
Oh, and for sure. Like if you think of the Scorsese ones and.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is no exception. But what I did not like about this movie was that, and Tom Hardy acts his ass off. Let me get that. I'll get that out of the way too. Tom Hardy is great in this film.
I agree. And he plays very two distinct characters.
Yeah.
Right.
They're totally different.
And you know which one is on screen. It's very clear who's who. And part of that is wardrobe, but the majority of it is actually his demeanor when he's in each character.
Yeah. And Tom Hardy, he's a phenomenal actor. I love his body of work. I make it a point to see most Tom Hardy films. I hadn't seen this one, but he's a super talented actor. He probably deserves a better filmography than what he's gotten. But here in this film, he's magnetic, and every time he's on screen, you pay attention is because he commands the presence that way. And so what I didn't like about this film is the writing. His character is just very, just one dimensional. Both brothers are just very one dimensional.
One of them is more one dimensional than the other. The main brother does have an arc. He changes throughout the course of the film. Whereas Ronald is unhinged throughout the whole film.
We're getting essentially it's a biography here, but I want to know more about these brothers, and I want to know why they are these kind of kingpins of this part of London. And we just never really get that, and we're just meant to assume that, hey, they're successful mob guys. They run, parts of the UK here, and they're feared. And that's the voiceover we get at the start of the film.
Like, so at the beginning of the film, the clean cut Tom Hardy, Reggie, is walking through town. He's saying hi to people and waving, and everybody's happy to see him. He's being tailed by two police officers who he knows they can't really do anything to him, even though they know he's a mobster, but he has done enough to kind of cover his tracks, and they're just kind of tailing him, and he knows it. And But he's welcomed by everyone in the neighborhood. But by the end of the film, people are run. Then they are fearing him. Then they're running from him. Like one of the women in the opening scene, he like says, "Hey, you know, say hi to whoever," and they're getting along. Like he is this mob boss who seemingly, as long as you're not on the other side of him, mob wise, you're fine, right? But that changes throughout the course of the film to the point where by the end, nobody likes him. And they run from him when they see him, including some of those same people in that opening scene.
Yeah, I enjoyed Tom Hardy and Emily Browning's scenes more than I did, I guess, kind of Tom Hardy's scenes acting opposite himself.
Generally speaking, I'm with you. I'm not on board with the two on scene. However, the scenes with just Ron and his harem of men, I loved all of that shit. When he's running the mob.
Taron Egerton
is
in this film
excellent.
Is awesome.
And there's another guy, I don't know who plays his other. So Ron is a gay man in this film. Openly in an era where that's not, you know, acceptable, and some really awesome scenes around that because he's very blunt about it. He first gets introduced to so Reggie is dating Emily Browning, and when Reggie introduces her to Ron, Ron's like the first thing he says is "I'm a homosexual," because Terrence Edgerton is leaving his trailer and all that other stuff. So he has a couple young men that he always has around him. That are not only his sort of right-hand men, but also his lovers. And when he's running, like, there's a portion of the film where Reggie, who's the responsible, intelligent, knows how to the ins and outs of running a mob family, is in jail, and it's all on Ron. That sequence, I really liked how, like, he ran things with fear, and like his whole intensity of that character was so dangerous. I really liked that part.
Yeah. And you know, that's what gets me about this film is because there's just sequences that I'm like, yeah, this is good. And then we go through lulls of just like kind of just, you know, not pointless dialogue, but almost unneeded dialogue. And I'm like, I don't need to know all this stuff about like Las Vegas guys, and you know, I like him going to jail. I don't need all that.
There are scenes in there that it, like, I know what you're saying, because there's a lot of lulls, but each of those things usually has like one little scene where I'm like, yeah, but that was pretty good. So like when he goes to jail, Reginald. And he gets beaten up by the guards, and he steals their cuffs and then beats the shit out of the guard. I loved that sequence. Like, you know, like he's going to out violence you. I really like that sequence. And then there's like the argument between like the banker and Ron, where Ron just doesn't like him. You know, I loved all that.
What's his name?
He's from David, Harry Potter.
David Thewlis.
Sure.
He's awesome.
He's good in everything.
He's good in everything. I love him. And when he popped up here, I was like, fuck yes, let's go. And I felt the same way about Paul Bettany when he popped up.
Man, I forgot about that completely. Again, I saw this a week ago. But dude, all of Paul Bettany stuff was excellent, and I was ready for this movie to be the Cray brothers versus Paul Bettany. Hell yeah, this is gonna be dope. Paul Bettany goes out in the first 10 minutes of this movie. Like, he shows up, he's torturing a dude, and then he gets busted by the cops, and you don't see him again for the rest of the film. Why did they get Paul Bettany to do that role, kill it? And I know it's based on a true story, so they probably had to at least oblige to life as much as possible. But I was disappointed we didn't get more Paul Bettany here. He did such a great job. His torture sequence where he's dressed up as a judge, His cronies are around him. They're all playing along and having a good time in this torture scene. And it's this dark piece of humor that worked for me, and I wanted more of it.
Yeah. I don't understand. And that you ever seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Snatch? No, definitely not Snatch.
But, you know, that scene with Paul Bettany reminded me of a scene out of Snatch. You know, it's a Guy Ritchie kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got his start in Hollywood making films set in London and around the UK. And just like kind of witty dialogue, but stylistic, the camera shooting things stylistically and all that. So that scene reminded me of that. And I was like, damn, I said, that's a weird scene to have in this movie, but I like it. Because we didn't get anything else in the film like that scene.
Yeah.
And that's kind of early on in the film, and I'm thinking, I'm still like, am I on board with this film? I don't know. And so that crept me closer to being like, okay, I'm invested. And then we didn't get anything like it. And so I kept going through these peaks and valleys of just different emotions with this film that I'm like, do I like it? Oh, I don't think so. Oh, okay, no, we're on a good scene, so I think I like this movie. And then we'd go back to some valleys of just needless dialogue, and I'm just like, fuck, how much more of this movie do we got? And that's the other thing, is this movie's long. It feels long.
I wouldn't say it's as... I mean, 212, anything over 2 is kind of long. But it's not like some other shit we've watched long, but
it does. Right. And it's not a Troy where it's almost 3 hours, but it does feel it. You feel the runtime here because it's so dialogue heavy. And the film looks great.
It does look great.
It is like my daughter walked in as I was watching it, and she's like, "Why are you watching this old movie?" I was like, "What are you talking about, old movie?" She's like, "This looks like it was done 100 years ago," and I'm like, "Well, it was 1960s, it's not 100 years ago." But I said it came out in 2015, and she's like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, you were alive during when this movie came out." the movie looks great. It looks authentic. It has a very couch it, but it does look authentic. It looks authentic to that time and period. Or a location, and there's several bar scenes, club scenes, and Tom Hardy says early on in the film to Emily Browning, Emily Browning's very good in this film. He goes, she's like, do you ever get tired of being a mobster or whatever she says,
yeah.
And he goes, I'm not a mobster, I'm a club owner,
yeah.
And he takes offense to it. It's like he honestly thinks that what he's doing is not mob business. It's just him running a business. And I enjoyed that is because I could get behind some of the motivations behind his character. And so I enjoyed that aspect, but then it got to be like, all right, we got some feuding brother type stuff throughout the film. And, you know, then by the end of the film, you know, the good Tom Hardy or the well kept Tom Hardy is
because neither of these guys are good.
Right, he's venturing into that detestable range, and
so
like
up to that point,
you're
kind of
like rooting for him.
Right. So you're at the beginning of the movie, you definitely are, right, but then he physically abuses his wife.
Emily Browning. That scene,
so she's like, "That's it, I'm done, I'm moving out." And so as she's moving out, she runs into Ron, who throughout the film is the violent guy. He's extremely violent.
He kills without
regard.
He's diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Yeah, but he looks at Emily Browning and sees the shiner she has and says, "Hey, that's too far. You know, that's a road too far. We were taught better than that." And then that's kind of like what they would call in wrestling is a double turn. where one guy's now the bad guy and the good guy.
Oh, man. You,
and
you
the bad guy's now the good guy.
Wrestling corner. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So, are you? and she kind of leaves the picture. So one of the things that this movie did that kind of annoyed me, she narrates the film.
Yeah.
And then about the 75% mark, somewhere in there, she commits suicide and she's still narrating and is like, I bet you thought, cause I was narrating that I'm going to make it through this. Well, you're wrong. I hated that. That is so stupid. What I would have preferred, I don't mind her narrating. What would have been more effective is if she stopped narrating. They, you know, like in the timeline,
never heard
right?
from her again.
And then you like, and it's one of those things where I think that you wouldn't even notice until your second viewing, you know? And I think that would make it more effective, but playing a joke on the audience, deliberately deceiving them that way, and then pointing it out, right? Because if you have her be the narrator, you already know, and she says it, you're assuming I'm making it through this. So they know, as the writers, that by making her the narrator, it sets in our mind that she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then if she just disappears, and then she dies, there's a shock to us. And it becomes more effective that way. But when you point out the magic trick, it loses its charm. And I think to me, I was eye rolling at that point because it could have been either if she doesn't narrate at all. But I also think that the idea of narrating and then she just disappears. You don't notice, you know, and then you see her dead in the film and you're like, oh, shit, maybe you're not even registering why it's hitting you so hard. That you really thought she was going to be okay. And then when you watch it again and the first time her narration kicks in, you go, oh shit, they got me. You know, just,
right.
It was bullshit. It was really stupid choice.
and that's the thing about this film that gets me is that, it is trying its hardest to be a really, really good film. You can tell that it's made with care. It is not rushed. It was produced by Sony, I guess, or you know, went through Sony's production. But you know, it was an independent film studio made this, and you can tell that the people in this film care about what's being presented, and I appreciate that. Because you know, we watch films all the time where it's just like, oh, this film was shit, and, you know, it's garbage because X, Y, and Z. But here, you know, the filmmakers are trying very hard to make this a good movie. Actors are trying very hard to portray accuracy and believability and all this, and it just falls short. And it's no fault of Tom Hardy's.
No,
and I don't think it's any fault of the director. I think honestly, it's a lot of the writing.
Yeah, but I think the director gets to make a lot of those calls, right?
He probably
does. Script is never really final. But maybe I could be wrong on that. I don't want to talk out of my ass. And I agree that's
where we do it. We talk out of our asses here.
Oh, okay. The pacing.
And I say we, I mean me.
You. The pacing is off, and I think that's a big thing. But how I would sum up the movie is that it's worse than the sum of its parts, right? You know, like you hear films are greater than the sum of its parts. Not this. There's a lot right here.
Mm-hmm.
But the pacing is so off, and there are some really bad choices, the narration specifically, that really took me out of the film, that keep it from being good. That take it from being a film with just really incredible scenes. The scene, like the last scene of the movie, is really tense because essentially, so Ron hires this guy, Hat, Mr. Hat or whatever. Literally, his name's like Hats or something. And to go kill their banker guy. And, you know, Reggie is like, no, the banker guy is... it's important that we keep him in the fold. But by shooting the banker guy and failing, like it was supposed to be a hit attempt, but the guy sucks. He shot him and then, you know, it pissed banker guy off and then he rolls over on everyone for immunity. And it basically brings down the entire cartel. But at the end, there's like this party. And let's say good Tom Hardy, Reggie comes in and he's pissed, right? His wife has killed herself. He's lost his... He can't... Like, they do a really great job. There's so much good stuff in this movie that just... Why is this such wasted potential? But like the whole thing is there's this respect for their mother. Their mother is in only a handful of scenes, but the movie does a really good job of expressing what she means to them and their respect for her. And also her love for Ron kind of falls on Reggie and the expectation that he protect him because he is definitely got special needs and a lot of like his temperament is really crazy. But so the scene comes at the end, Hats comes into this party and Reggie's yelling at him. And, you know, basically Hats calls his bluff. He's like, he's not going to do shit to me. He starts to walk away. And Tom Hardy, Reggie, brutally murders this dude in a crazy stabbing scene. And it just kind of goes on. And it's really effective. And then he goes up to his brother. And Ron's like, why did you kill that guy? He's like, because I can't kill you. And then he leaves. And that's the end of the film. And it's an effective ending.
Yeah.
It's just these really great scenes in an overall package that's kind of meh. And I don't know if I could put on what, maybe if you tightened up a little bit and I fell in love with the characters a little more, at least they made a little more sense to me, then maybe it works, you know, but it just kind of fell flat to me.
I agree 100% with you. That scene that you're talking about, it's jarring how violent it is. It's because he's repeatedly stabbing this dude, and it's just like
it's like 40 times. Did they even say? I think they even said some point in the film, like how many stab wounds this dude had.
And it's the one scene is because the film kind of shies away from the violence. In
one
this
dude
film
gets
up
shot
to
the
that
forehead.
Point.
Nah.
Yeah.
There's the guy
right,
that Ron kills that kind of starts the whole
well,
downfall.
You know, like the bar scene where him and Reggie and Ron go in.
Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah, and it's a good scene, but like the violence, the real graphic violence of that scene isn't really shown.
It's a fisticuffs brawl, you know.
But Ron kills several people with a hammer. And
oh,
then
yeah,
the
that's
final,
right.
Yeah, you know, he's killing just beating this guy to death with a hammer at the end, and you get a far off shot on that. But then at the end, where Reggie is stabbing this guy 40 some times, that's the first real time you see Reggie like just lose his shit.
Yeah, other than so, there are more mild loot. Like there's when he beats his wife, right? And the whole time this
again
film,
off screen.
Well, yeah, but it's clearly happened.
Yeah, right.
And in this film, though, like the first half of the film is this romance, is him throwing her favorite candies at her window to get her attention.
Yeah,
you know, and them having a very adorable romance, you know. And by the end of the film, though, he's and he doesn't even feel bad about it, you know, or at least he doesn't let on, right?
I think that's where this film actually goes wrong and makes the detour of being a good film to a meh film is that it did not stick with the romance longer. It kind of rushed through the romance of Tom Hardy and Emily Browning, and they have really good chemistry, I think.
Well, it got them married, and then he basically got married. She married him under the understanding he was getting out, but of course he didn't, you know. And she said it lasted like 2 weeks or whatever. They went on their honeymoon, but they're back at being gangsters.
I wanted more of those two characters together. You know, and regardless of like the setting, because they have such good on-screen chemistry, it didn't really matter to me, like, if they were, you know, it was a romantic scene or it was a scene in the jail where she's visiting him. I wanted more of those two. And we didn't really get, in the second half of the movie, we didn't really get enough of that. And Emily Browning is a very good actress. And here she's doing her best to, I guess, kind of keep things, like, because she's the catalyst. Her and Ron are the catalyst of the entire films, the characters. And Reggie is the central figure, but he's doing everything based on what's going on with Emily Browning's character and then his brother Ron. And that essentially drives the film. And so when he goes to prison and Ron has to run things, we get eccentric Ron, unhinged Ron, and that's fine. Those scenes are fine. But we don't get enough of Emily Browning's character to bring up kind of the slack. And the film suffers for that. Also, I have to point out, she is, you know, Tom Hardy's not a tall man. I looked it up. He's 5'9". It's not, I mean, that's average.
A lot of Hollywood actors are apparently roughly that height because there's something about filmmaking that actually benefits somewhat of a medium stature.
But he is 5'9". She is 5 foot. And you can tell it in this film.
Yeah.
She is a tiny woman. And some of the scenes are, and like, it's because the film kind of goes out of its way to like showcase it. Like the first scene where Reggie meets her character in the doorway of her house, you know, she's standing on the step or in the doorway, and they're kind of eye to eye. And then she goes down a step and she's significantly shorter. And then she steps back up on the step, and you're like, why are they fucking showing that? Like, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And then later on in the film, he goes and picks her up for, I guess, like a date or whatever. And she's wearing, like, flat shoes or whatever. And she is, like, little people height. It is crazy. I just had to point that out. It's weird. It threw me for a loop. I was like, is Tom Hardy a small man? Is he a tiny man too? Is he Hugh Grant in Willy Wonka? What the fuck?
My height corner.
Listen,
let's not return. I don't want to be in the height corner any further. Nobody puts baby in the height corner.
You're a tall man. You're an average, a more than average height man.
Yeah,
I'm a what would be considered a more than average height man. I'm 6 foot, 5'11" on a bad day. Tom Hardy, he's average height. Emily Browning's 4'12", man, 5 foot. Come on now, put some heels on that bitch.
Damn, that's another moment where I must remind everyone that Mark's opinions don't necessarily reflect those of me. I had to do this a lot lately on both of my podcasts. Anyway, so going back to Ron and his character, I think is kind of one of the more interesting characters, is there's the scene where they're meeting with the mob family from America, and they have this mutual deal that makes them both a lot of money. Essentially, the Cray brothers become money launderers for this mob family in America, and it just makes them a lot of easy money. But when they introduce them, you know, the mob boss from the States is like, why don't you guys come over? I'll get you some girls. And Ron's like, I prefer boys. And then he talks about all the different, he's like, I'm not that picky. And he's been with all the people of different ethnicities. And the guy's just kind of shocked that he just is so open about being gay in this era when it's definitely, I don't know, 50s, 40s, 30s, was definitely not okay. or not well accepted. And he's just like, damn, you got balls on you. And like, I'm like, I dared that guy to say something because Ron would rip his fucking head off.
Right.
Ron's just that crazy of a character. And there's something endearing a bit about him, right? That there's this innocence to him almost because of his naiveness that I just found Ron to be the most captivating thing in the film.
Yeah, for sure. And Tom Hardy, I mean, we've seen him play unhinged before. And he's very good at it. And his facial expressions, in every movie that he's in, his facial expressions kind of take the cake. And it's not absent here either. He is as Ron, and a lot of it is makeup, but like the way they made his face and his lips look puffy. There's a lot of close up shots of Ron's face in this movie. You know, he's got like a darker shade of red on his lips, and they make him look very British, I will say. Teeth are kind of messed up, and you know, he's wearing the glasses, and he's talking in a real thick accent. It's a very British film. I was very immersed. But he's very unhinged. Tom Hardy is very unhinged here, and I enjoyed that. He is fantastic. If you see this film at all, see it for Tom Hardy, because I mean, I don't know, he only does movies like every so often these days. So
especially nowadays, the strike and shit, nobody's making shit.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's.
Watch, the strike will be over by the time this comes out. We'll sound fucking stupid.
God, we're such dumbasses. Anyways, I don't know what more we can say about this film. Hey, did you know that Emily Browning was the main character in Sucker Punch? I didn't.
I've never seen Sucker Punch. I'm not a fan of Zack Snyder.
Okay. I saw it when it came out. I didn't realize that she was the main character. I might go watch it again. Very CG, that movie.
Yeah, well, thanks. But
very green screen.
Do you recommend this movie?
You know, I can't. I just don't. Tom Hardy's great, and the acting across the board is great in this film. There aren't any performances in this film where I'm like, oh, that sucked. It's just the movie hits too many lows for me to be like, oh yeah, you gotta watch this. I think there's better gangster movies out there. There's better Tom Hardy movies out there. But you know, he's one of those actors right now that is captivating. And so if you watch it, you're not gonna be sad that you did, because you know he's gonna give you your time back in spades. But just as far as the story goes, it's not great. Too many wasted opportunities.
Yeah. I wish I could say with more directness what really let me down in the film, because there are so many good moments and excellent scenes. I think there's more good scenes than bad scenes even.
I agree. Yeah.
But I never got hooked into the characters that much. And I think that's what kept me from being wholeheartedly on board with it. And so when the unforgivable moments happen, there wasn't enough good in there to offset it, I think. And I can't really recommend it either. But it is one of those things where I could see someone watch this and be like, damn, I don't know what you're talking about. The movie's awesome. Like, there's that scene and yeah. And I'd be like, you're right. Those are great scenes. But there's just something missing for me. And I think it's in the character relationships or something there that's just missing that takes it from being good to great. I would say this is a good movie. It's just not great. And so I right. won't be recommending it.
You know, when two semi-professional film reviewers like ourselves,
yes,
you know, get together, and we have to watch things with a critical lens.
Garbage Pail Kid versions of Siskel and Ebert.
Listen, you know, cut my jaw off and call me Ebert. But you know, it is
what?
We have to watch things with a, we have that man had like tongue cancer or whatever. I don't know.
Wow, cancer jokes. Once again,
he's dead. He won't hear them.
I don't necessarily agree with Mark. What were you going to say?
No, it's just, you know, we have to watch things with a critical lens, and we have to save our recommendations for the things that are great. And I think for the most part, we've accomplished that over the 2 years we've done the podcast. And so, you know, sometimes the quote unquote good movies, they don't make the recommendation list, but that doesn't mean they're not quote unquote good movies.
Yeah, we don't want to recommend average, but I will point out that I at one point recommended Drive Angry and you recommended Mars Attacks. And this film, I think, as far as has much smarter filmmaking than both of those films.
No, this film is a better film than both of those. But we're not going to rehash the past.
I'm just pointing out some of the shortcomings in our own system, which is fine.
It's fine. Anyways, Jeff, what are we watching next week?
You picked some horse shit from the guy who I don't like. Like, you like picking shit I don't like, I think.
Darren Aronofsky.
That's the one. And it's called Fountain. And fortunately for us,
it's
does star.
The Fountain.
Well, who gives a shit? Fortunately, it does star our own man crush in Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
So we're going to double dip in the Jackman this month.
We are jacking.
I'm going to guess that this is going to be the worst of the two. I'm not
going to God.
I am predicting by a landslide.
Wait,
that
the worst
Fountain
of two,
is going to be of the two Jackman films. It's going to be the worst film we watch this month.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
What? I mean, at least save that for the final fucking episode.
No,
of
fuck
this
that.
Month.
This movie sucks ass. Haven't even watched it yet. It's a huge piece of shit, and I don't recommend it. I'm going to edit. You can edit this part out, put it at the tail end of next week's episode, and it will fit. I promise you.
I'm going to put it at the fucking front.
All right. That works for me.
That way people
watch
know.
Watch me love it. I'm trying to set myself up for success in that. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope I'm like, damn, I'm wrong, but I won't be. Darren Aronofsky fucking sucks. As a director, he's probably a normal, balanced human being, but I hate his movies.
Anyways, we want to give another shout out to the music this month, and the music this month is brought to you by, once again, Flying a Boss, the Los Angeles hip hop duo, doing big things on the social media with their song Trash Boy. Make sure you hit the show notes, get all the links, follow, like, and subscribe their music. You can get their music wherever you get yours from. We appreciate them. And if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, you can find him at Podcast by Jeff and be like, hey, man, Darren Aronofsky's not so bad.
Darren Aronofsky sucks. That will be my reply. You don't even have to message me. That's what I will say. That's that Podcast by Jeff. I think you said it, but I'm not sure. But if you want to get in touch with Mark and say, man, 30 Days of Leto, you teased it years ago.
It's on the calendar, man. I got it.
Oh, okay. We're going to get it.
I got it all planned out. We're going
to
get it.
Finally. We got to do Leto month to go with 30 Days of Leto. I don't know.
It's on. I have it set up
to be on
the YouTube studio. It's Jared Leto month, not month, you know, Jared Leto film reviews or whatever.
Yeah. So go follow Mark on Twitter at I Heard You Liked. Give him some recommendations of some Leto that he should have to sit through. But
I'll sit through any Leto.
Yeah, we know. But if you wanted to hear something from people sitting through one person's creative endeavors, you could go check out Chronologically. We're in season 3. We're reviewing the films of M. Night Shyamalan, including some that you may not have heard of. Did you know he did a film with Rosie O'Donnell?
Takes place in a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Oh.
So go check that feed out for those episodes. And I think that's all of my stuff. Check out the YouTube channel, though.
Yeah. No, we're on all your... So if you want to follow the podcast anywhere, we're on all your favorite social media channels, at Movie Draft
House. What about that Threads? Facebook Threads?
Oh, and we're not on the Facebook Thread.
Again,
no,
we're dating this.
It's the Metaverse.
We recorded this a month ago, and it doesn't
Threads
apply.
Might be shut down by now.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're at Movie Draft House. You can find us on all your social media. Be sure if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button as it pops up down below. You'd be doing us a favor, and we appreciate you. And make sure you don't miss any future content. You know,
Mark's been dropping bombs on the YouTube channel.
I've dropped one,
but at least it was a film called Lady Bloodfight. Damn it!
I put the YouTube channel on my back.
You really
I'm
have
currently carrying it.
I can't, man. It's really hard.
It's fine. It's fine. You got a lot going on. I understand it.
I'm willing to put in the work.
Done.
I was watching this movie on Tubi called Ninja vs. Ninja. It's one of the best worst films I've ever seen. I am going to finish
it. That's perfect.
I tried to do a review for it. It's fucking amazing.
Anyways, you can... So if you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, you're not going to miss any five-minute reviews. I'm watching a ton of shit.
He really does. You watch too much stuff.
I do watch too much stuff, but I watch it for our viewer benefit. So anyways, appreciate you all... Let us do our thing here. Jeff, any words of wisdom?
Gonna scroll down to the quotes. There aren't any.
Fountains quote.
Nope. Fuck off, everyone.
Oh. Fuck off. I'm seeing that boy a treasure. He don't even text me back now. And he be making me mad. Wish I ain't give him a chance. Oh, trash, trash, yeah. He don't even text me back now. And he be making me mad, yeah. Wish I ain't give him a chance. Oh, trash. I've been too digmatized to realize that I was the prize the whole fucking time. Excuses I made for this trifling ass nigga. Now he put the blame on me. But don't pity me, put the pity on him. To lose a queen, checkmate, that's the end. Send him back to the streets, take him out to the curb. You get what you accept, girl, not what you deserve. He stay talking shit, he don't pay no rent. He seems to forget that I am not.